Well, it's known as the Emerald Isle, or in the case of the Irish from the movie Braveheart, 'tis my island. Being also home to Guinness Beer and the band U2, Ireland is one of those small places in the world that you never really think of when you think of Irish automobiles. When you think of Ireland, it's like thinking of Canada. Yeah, one of the first things that comes to mind is beer. But Ireland has a rich history in the automobile industry, and its ties to one of the largest automobile manufacturers in the world will astound you. So today, being St. Patrick's Day, we figure let's take a look at this good old Green Emerald Isle and see what Ireland has in store for the automotive world. Welcome back to the Auto Looks Podcast. I am your host, as always, the doctor to the automotive industry, Mr. Everett J., coming to you from our main website at autolooks.net. If you haven't been there, stop by, check it out, read some of our reviews, check out some of our ratings, check out the Corporate Links website page, big or small, we have them all on the Auto Looks Corporate Links website page. You can find any major or minor automobile manufacturer from around the globe all there on the autolooks.net website. The Auto Looks Podcast is brought to you by Ecom Entertainment Group and distributed by Podbeam.com. Find us on every major streaming channel around the globe. From Spotify to iTunes, the Auto Looks Podcast is there for everyone. And after this, take a check on the show on both the website and any major social feed and click the like button at the bottom if you like this and spread the word with everybody you know from the Auto Looks and the Auto Looks Podcast. So like I said in the beginning, the Emerald Isle, Ireland, just my island. Well, it's not mine. I do have a bit of Irish heritage on my grandfather's side, on my birth mother's side, and my wife has it on her father's side as well. So there's a little bit of Irish in my family. So when St. Patrick's Day does come around, we feel a bit Irish. But I always had to ask myself, cars and the automobile industry on Ireland, what is there? Well, we've all known that Northern Ireland, a part of the UK, not part of the actual Irish Republic, was originally home to DeLorean Motor Company. Yes, this was due to the fact of mass unemployment in the area. Yes, the government worked with John Z himself to build a manufacturing plant for his new futuristic car that would bring the world into the next form of the automobile. John Zachary DeLorean was going to pave the way for the automotive future. And after a stint at General Motors, he was going to make it. Well, we all know where that story wound up, but being that it's part of the Emerald Isle, even though Northern Ireland is part of the UK and not part of the Republic of Ireland, it still classifies the DeLorean Motor Company as a part Irish-born automobile. The car was built there, manufactured with its parts. Sure, it was an American finance, an American-owned car company, but it came from Ireland. But there are a lot of other great things that come from Ireland as well within the automobile industry. Quadrifoglio from Alfa Romeo, don't quote me on that, I probably got the name wrong, but if you've ever seen the performance brands of Alfa Romeo, they have a four-leaf clover. Now, everybody knows four-leaf clovers mean good luck, and yes, that's what quadrilifico means in Italian, but they use a four-leaf clover, something that's reminiscent of Ireland. Yeah, we get it. There's a lot of things when you think of Ireland, and a lot of stereotypes when you think of Ireland. You think of leprechauns, you think of the pot of gold, and you think of the four-leaf clover. Hell, clovers are everywhere. I have them in my own backyard. But the clover, when you think of it, you think of Ireland because Ireland is such a lush green island. And the clover is a big part of the Republic of Ireland. So to have that on an Alfa Romeo performance brand just makes it that much more amazing. Sure, it's an Italian bred manufacturer, but having that little bit of Irish on it makes it that much cooler. From there, the Aylesbury 810 Stevens Dreyer engine was manufactured in Ireland, only lasting from 1907 to 1908. This manufacturing plant set the pace for automobile production on the Irish Isle. From there, Ford moved home. And you're going to get this after I tell you this story. Ford opened their first tractor manufacturing facility in 1917, the Fordson Tractors. Now, why did Ford do this? Well, Henry Ford had a place in his heart for Ireland, and this was because of his father. His father, William Ford, came from Ballyscathy, a small village, but he left during the Great Famine in 1847 and wound up in Wayne County, Michigan. So yes, he left due to the famine, moved his family, well, Henry wouldn't have been around at that point in time, but moved to the other side of the world, moved to America, to make a better life for himself. But when Henry created his Ford Motor Company, he wanted to bring something back to his home country. And for that, he brought the Fordson tractors. He eventually changed to cars and became Europe's first purpose-built Ford products for the European marketplace, all built of Ireland. And this production would go from 1917 all the way up to the final Sierra production model in 1984, when Ford finally pulled out of the Irish market as it being too costly and not as competitive as building their products one island over in the UK. The Fordson factory once employed over 7,000 people on 18 acres of land. This is one massive plant. 7,000 people. That's more than some automobile plants today employ. So for Ireland to lose that in 1984, that's a major kick in the nuts. But one thing Ford did leave and is still there. In Belliscarthy, his father's hometown, there is a pub called the Henry Ford Tavern. And it's even written in the original Ford lettering that you would find on the front of your original Model T. This pub was not owned or created by the Fords, but was built as an inspiration to the family that left, but eventually came back to their home. Even today, Belliscarthy, you can go to the Henry Ford pub, and with release the Ford Mach-E, they showcased in 2017 100 years of Ford in Ireland. And they actually got a picture of a Model T in front of the Henry Ford Tavern. Now, I don't know about you, but this is going to be a sight for me to see if I ever make my way to Ireland. I have to go and see this. Hey, this isn't just a car company. This is a pub dedicated to that car company. In 1932, they saw a huge tax created against fully built vehicles. This was put in place by the Irish government to keep people from bringing in fully built vehicles into the Irish countryside. To get around this, a company called CKD created knockdown assembly facilities to bring in vehicles as parts and be later put together, similar to how vehicles are being built in Africa for the African marketplace. Building a full-scale production facility there could be possible, but it's just cheaper and easier to send all the parts that are going to be built there because you never know what's going to happen. In Ireland, they did this to get around their tax laws, similar to that of Subaru, putting two rearward facing seats in the Subaru Brat in the 1970s to get around North America's chicken tax, which still exists today. This eventually led to other companies, Vauxhall, Adler, Chrysler, Mercedes-Benz, Peugeot, Hellman, Standard, Dodge, Hudson, and even Armstrong Siddeley setting up facilities to make knockdown frame vehicles. And being that they're just next to Great Britain, to enter that market, you can build them in knockdown variations. So build them in main plant offshore, ship them in knockdown facilities to Ireland, and then ship them elsewhere into the European Union. Studebaker was one of the big ones who sent complete knockdown versions of their cars from Detroit shipped to Ireland to be put back together. They weren't just shipping parts, they were literally building the entire car in Detroit and then pulling it apart and shipping it over there. In 1950, Motors Distribution Limited of Dublin made the first CKD version of the Volkswagen Beetle outside of Germany. This is 1950. The Beetle was just being released into the world thanks to the British Empire having their hands and holding on to the manufacturing plant in West Germany. Yes, the British, you can thank, for bringing the Beetle to the masses. They found this car sitting in that plant, and they finally took it over from the Nazis and said, this is a great product. Using finances from Great Britain, they built the manufacturing plant, and eventually CKD built knockdown versions of them in Dublin, the first ones built outside of Germany. But Ford wasn't going to have this. They were already building their actual cars. So this eventually led to a war between both Ford and Volkswagen, which still goes on today. But unfortunately, it doesn't go on the Emerald Isle, whereas both manufacturers have disappeared from producing vehicles in Ireland. In the 1960s, we saw Ford, Austin, Mini, Morris, Volkswagen, and Hillman manufacturing cars in Ireland. Not just knockdown kits, actually building vehicles in Ireland. And this was just after 1958's shutdown of the Great Northern Railway Works in Dundalk. The government bought the plant and the rights to the Henkel bubble cars. This is essentially what spearheaded building automobiles back in Ireland. Not knockdown kits, but building actual automobiles. The Henkel bubble cars originally with the Great Northern Railway Works, were supposed to build over 9,000 of them. Gotta remember, this is the late 50s, early 60s, when bubble vehicles like the Isetta were out there, and people were looking at small little city cars like this and thinking to themselves, we need to get into this at the ground level. And Ireland was one of the few countries in the world that said yes, with Germany being the only other country in the world looking at the bubble car market for city runabouts. Ireland was doing this with the Heinkel bubble cars. Although they never met their 9,000 break-even point, they did last in production until 1961. Wexford Renault eventually was set up and built a plant to build the Renault 4s. Funny thing is they shipped them in all the way into Italy, all the way up until the 1980s. This was used as a cheaper production facility to enter more competitive marketplaces. Renault was trying to compete against Fiat. You know, Fiat, one of those car companies that helped some of these other car companies get their starts. Well, Renault wanted to fight them, and the Renault 4 wanted to beat Fiat, but they couldn't do it while building their cars in France. So by having the Wexford plant in Ireland, they could build the cars at a cheaper rate and ship them over Italy. But this was until the 1980s. And we'll eventually get to that, why the 1980s was the fall of the Irish automobile industry. Carassi Ompar Éireann, or CIE, is an Irish transportation company. And at a small point in their history during the 1970s, they actually built their own buses in Ireland for their transportation network, which is kind of odd because DeLorean was bidding on building a bus for the Irish marketplace as well. Well, kind of funny how CIE was building buses in Ireland during the 1970s. And by the late 70s, this bus went out of production. And DeLorean set out a bid and set out a design for their own DeLorean transportation unit, a city bus, to be built. Unfortunately, with all the fallout from the Northern Irish plant and, well, as we all know, the history about the DeLorean, and if you don't, go back and check out our podcast about the DeLorean Motor Company, where we go back in history and take you through the life and times of John Z. DeLorean and his own company. Take a check after this podcast. So even though DeLorean didn't win the bid, this also had something to do with what was coming around the corner. In 1973, Ireland joined the European Economic Community, which eventually saw the accession of CKD system, the knockdown cars. Knockdown cars weren't around because they are now part of the European Union. And by being part of the European Union, you now had to compete in the same level as everybody else within that community. Similar to how the North American Free Trade Agreement, or the new NAFTA, whatever the hell it's called, put stipulations in place that up to 85% of the parts for a vehicle have to be built in North America. On top of that, vehicles even manufactured in the country of Mexico have to abide by the same standards as of the rest of North America, which means nobody on the production facility, up to 85% of the parts that go into that vehicle, can make less than $15 an hour in wages, which kind of puts a little strain on Mexico, where it used to be able to get away with a lot lower wages, but now with minimum wage and everything else skyrocketing and hitting into the $20 to $30 range for a lot of production facilities, Mexico at $15 an hour still seems a bit cheaper than setting up shop in North America. So with the accession into the European Economic Community, is eventually ruled out of favor in 1984. And when Ireland pulled out of the European Economic Community in 1984, the rules had changed, and a lot of their automobile manufacturing had moved. And by 1984, when they left, their market was deemed too small. And now, with less laws against them bringing in full-scale automobiles, they could just build them across the pond. The last Irish-built vehicle was a Mazda 323 in 1984 by Motors Distribution Plant. In 1984, when they both closed that plant and the Ford Motor Company's plant, over 12,000 jobs were lost nationwide. Ireland was no longer producing automobiles. From its rise in 1917 all the way up to 1984, Ireland had a pretty decent run for itself. But joining the European Union and being part of the Economic Forum, Ireland joined a massive community which made them more inclusive of everybody else, which means they had less of an ability to have massive tariffs in their own country to keep people from bringing in these products. Now, you could just ship everything into Dublin. Knockdowns are no longer required, and full-scale production is nowhere to be seen. But that doesn't mean the automobile industry is gone from Ireland forever. No, there's another part of the automobile world from Ireland. From 1929 to 1931, just 3 years, Ireland hosted a Formula One Grand Prix. Now, this set the world off and showcased to the world that Ireland is a place of racing. In the same year that Formula One left Ireland, the third longest running rally in the world started. In 1931, the Circuit of Ireland Rally began operations and is still going today. Now, with the Grand Prix leaving, Mundello Park opened in 1968 as Ireland's premier racing facility, trying to gain traction in Grand Prix again. Although failing, it still has hosted many other amazing events. And the greatest thing about the Mundello Park, it also appears in the Need for Speed Pro Street racing game, plus CarX Drift Racing Online, GT Legends, and Taka Race Driver 3. You can find Ireland's Mundello Park in the video game world. A racing circuit that opened in 1968 is available in multiple variations and multiple sim racing games. Ireland may not have as many Formula One or racing drivers as, let's say, a similar populated country as Finland, but they've had a few. Derek Patrick Daly raced in Formula One from 1978 to 1982 and won the 1977 Formula 3 Championship. After losing his ride in Formula One, Derek raced for the IndyCar Series from 1982 to 1989, and with also races in Le Mans, IMSA, and the sports car racing circuit, being one of the most coveted Irish race car drivers of all time, Derek Patrick Daly. Just last year, we lost a great Irish driver that was slowly moving up the scale to becoming the next Derek Patrick Daly. Craig Breen from the World Rally Championship rolled his car and died. He raced from 2009 to 2023, having one of the longest race car careers for an Irish driver. Craig Breen was also becoming one of the biggest names in the rally racing. And even today, Craig Breen's name isn't as large as Tommy Mäkinen, Peter Solberg, or Colin McRae. But Craig Breen, for this generation of rally drivers, was there, and he proved that Ireland could still support a race car industry. But if you didn't know, Ireland holds the title of being the birthplace of some of the world's greatest Formula One drivers' careers, with the number one F1 driver in the standings list, not the number one all time. I'm sorry. Fangio, for me, is number one, with Senna number two, and Schumacher as number three. But when it comes to race titles and wins, Schumacher is still up there, fighting it out today with Lewis Hamilton. But if you didn't know, Michael Schumacher got his start racing the 7-Up race car from the Jordan Formula One team. Edmund Patrick Jordan, owner of Jordan Racing, gave Michael Schumacher his Formula One debut. Benetton may have been where he got his wins and really made a name for Michael Schumacher, but Jordan is where Schumacher started his Formula One career, showcasing both Irish colors being in green, along with their title sponsor of 7-Up being green. The Jordan race car also always had Ireland written on it to showcase to the world that Ireland has a Formula One team and Ireland can compete on the Formula One scale. Jordan ran his racing team for quite a while, never winning championships. His closest came was Heinz Harald Frentzen, finishing in third in the World Championship standings. And the closest they ever got to a podium finish was when Martin Brundle finished second in the British Formula 3. Jordan Racing was the start of some of the greats: Michael Schumacher, Damon Hill, Ralf Schumacher, Heinz Harald Frentzen, and Martin Brundle. Jordan Racing was a name that I remember when I first started watching Formula One. They raced during the Schumacher years, which means they were there when Canada won its first championship with Jacques Villeneuve. Ireland raced against us. Ireland proved that they could run a Formula One team, and they could run it against the best in the world. Unfortunately, a lot like some of the smaller teams like Benetton, Jordan, and even McLaren have passed, Jordan no longer exists on the Formula One grid, but they are one of the teams that you could still remember and still recognize as being a great Formula One team. And now knowing that it comes from the Emerald Isle of Ireland, there's a greater place in my heart for the Jordan Racing team. Anybody build a Formula One team in Great Britain or Germany or Italy, but for Ireland to get that close, hell, they've come closer to winning a championship and gained more points than Haas ever has. America can't build a team that big, but a little green island can. Hell, a tiny little country like Finland can have how many world championships as well? So it's not always the biggest and most powerful nations in the world that can make a standpoint. Ireland has had a few concept cars and a few vehicles throughout the years. With being a hub for manufacturing due to the knockdown kit laws of the 1960s and into the 70s, Ireland did host one small sports car manufacturer during the 1980s. The TMC Coston sports car was it. It performed both as a street touring car and as a touring racing car. But when the company's finances came under peril, the designs were sold off to one Don Panos. Did you ever wonder how the Panos logo has a clover in it? I remember when I was a kid and I first saw the Panos AIV Roadster, and I thought to myself, that is a cool logo. It's red, white, and blue, but it's got the four-leaf clover. So what does that mean? He's got like Irish heritage in it? Is Don Panos Irish, but building his car in America? But when I found out the TMC Costin is where the original platform and designs for Don Panos' original Roadster came from. And for that, he kept a little bit of Irish heritage on the car. He kept it on his logo. He wanted people to know that his sports car was originally built and conceived in Ireland. Ireland. It's not just a country known for Guinness beer or U2. It has a place in the automotive history. And considering that the father of one of the biggest automobile manufacturers in the world, the Ford Motor Company, Henry Ford's own father, came from Ireland. And Henry Ford himself helped build the automobile industry in Ireland. But like a lot of other great nations that have had automobile industries built for them during their expanse years, free trade agreements eventually killed off their industry. Similar to how high wages and free trade agreements killed it off in Australia, and free trade agreements shut down factories in Canada. The automobile industry is fickle, and it really doesn't care about its heritage. Where if it did, Ford would still have a plant in Ireland. They would be where their heritage comes from. So today, on St. Patrick's Day, raise a pint of your favorite Irish beer and toast to St. Patrick himself in the Emerald Isle, and ask them, where are our Irish cars? So if you like this podcast, please like, share, or comment about it on the bottom. Hit the like button and send it out to anybody you know of on any of the major social feeds or streaming channels you have found us on for the Autolooks podcast. And after that, stop by the website at autolooks.net. Check out some of our ratings. Check out some of our reviews. Send us a blog comment about this podcast and tell us about your favorite Irish product. What do you think of first when you think of Ireland? Is it more than just Guinness beer and U2? To me, it's the Jordan Formula One racing team. Michael Schumacher has a place in Irish hearts. And after you've done that, after you sent it out, and after you've gone by the website, click the like button again at the bottom. And like the Autolooks podcast so you can find out more from the history, the present, and the future of the automobile industry from none other than the doctor to the automobile industry, Mr. Everett J. The Autolooks podcast has been brought to you by Ecom Entertainment Group and distributed by Podbeam.com. If you'd like to get in touch with either Ecom Entertainment Group, Autolooks.net, or the Doctor to the Automotive Industry, Mr. Everett J. himself, send him an email over at email@autolooks.net. So for myself, Everett J., the Autolooks website, strap yourself in for this one fun wild ride we have as we celebrate the Irish automotive history. I'm